You know, Pastor Jonah has been going through the life of Christ, and I'm going to pick up a little bit where he left off in Matthew 5. We're going to read, I'm not going to get very far in Matthew 5, just so you know, but so my point here today, and first of all, I need to thank the Lord for little things like the undo button. I was working on making some changes this morning, and all of a sudden it disappeared, and I had a moment of panic, and I said, oh my God, where did it go? And I was searching for the undo button, and I couldn't find the undo button, and I found the undo button, and it came back, and I'm very excited it came back. But, you know, it's those little things we're thankful for, and but we're going to start in Matthew 5, verse 17. Like I said, we're not going to stay there long, but my point in speaking today is, you know, it's going to be, well, I'll just read it here in Matthew 5, 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets, but I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen. So my goal here today is to show how he fulfilled, to show, you know, how people have missed it, especially in the example of the Pharisees, and to show that it's titled, I Desire Mercy, because that's been God's heart towards us all along. You know, sin unfortunately corrupted things, but God's heart towards us all along has been mercy and love. You know, he's still a God of justice, but when he sees us, he wants to pour his love out on us, and it, spoiler alert, it's Jesus, you know. It's Jesus. So there's going to be no surprise at the end, but it's Jesus. All right, so we'll read it again. Matthew 5, 17 through 18. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one dot or one mark will pass away from the law until it all be fulfilled. You know, this is a very foundational verse. You know, because how many, there's so many different camps out there, right? It's the keep the law camp. Mm-hmm. The Old Testament doesn't apply camp. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the I'm just going to pick and choose camp. You know, so there's all these different groups, you know, searching. You know, I don't think it's always just out of, you know, out of hatred, or, you know, some people just don't understand. Some people got some bad doctrine. Some people, not everybody is trying to lead everybody astray, but it's important to know the word. It's important to know the context of the word. It's important to know that Jesus fulfilled the law. He didn't do away with the law. And because he fulfilled it, we can respond to it differently. It means something so much more different to us than it did to Israel. You know, and unfortunately, when we align ourselves with these doctrines and when we create our own doctrines about who God is and what he's doing, we miss the truth of the word. We miss the grace, and we, you know, everybody's searching for this grace and this mercy, but it comes through knowledge of the word. It comes through relationship, and that's what I really want to get across today is the relationship that we have now. Because salvation, true righteousness, true justification, true relationship are possible because of Jesus Christ. Because of what he did on that cross. Because he said, it is finished. It was fulfilled. The law was fulfilled. Because he said, it is finished. He did what he was supposed to do. He came, he conquered. He conquered sin and death for us so we can now have relationship again. So I'm going to focus a little bit on the law here because it does get a bad rap, I think, a lot of times. But in Psalms 19:7, the first part of it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You know, nothing that God has done has been imperfect. The law was perfect, but we are sinful. Right? So we can't truly grasp it, and we can't truly fulfill it because it was given by a perfect God. 1 Timothy 1, 8 through 11. So we're going to get some Old Testament, some New Testament all throughout today. But we know that the law is good if someone uses it lawfully. And we know that the law is not given for the righteous person because we have a new covenant, right? We have a new relationship. But for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and the profane, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for the sodomites, for the slaves, the traitors, for liars, for perjurers. And here's the piece I would like us to notice. And for anything else that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So what does the gospel say who we are? Right? We're not basing ourselves off of a covenant that truly didn't. I mean, are there any Jewish people here today? That covenant didn't apply to us anyways. You know? It didn't. And sometimes that can be really confusing for people, and sometimes that can be a really, you know, what do you mean we're not supposed to follow the Ten Commandments? I never said that. But when we understand the person of Jesus, we understand his heart is in us, right? His heart is in us, and we'll get there. I don't want to ruin everything. But, you know, that covenant wasn't even for us. And the more you study it out, you know, God gave grace to those Gentiles. Who do you think Jesus was preaching to when he was down, you know, for 3 days? He preached the gospel to the dead. How amazing is that? That's so cool, in my opinion. They rose with him. And the amazing thing is that some people still turned him down. You know, that's the amazing thing. Is that even in hell, even going through what they've been through, there's people that still harden themselves so much to the love of Christ, to who he truly is, that they chose eternity in hell. Just something to think about. The law was meant to show us a need for a savior, right? Because we can't live up to it. We were never meant to live up to it. It was meant to say, oh my God, I need you. Because I can't do this on my own. You know, unfortunately, we have a sin nature in us, but fortunately, we now have the Spirit of Christ in us as well. You know, because of the Word, because of this relationship, we can fight this stuff. You know, you don't have to go walk through this world defeated. You don't have to walk through this world in lack of knowledge, in lack of wisdom, in lack of understanding, because it's all here for us. We just have to have an open heart. You know, I had to have an open heart to receiving because I had really hardened myself over the years just through various circumstances in my family and various circumstances in myself, how I just saw myself as a failure. You know, I had to open my heart to see myself how Jesus sees me. Otherwise, I would never be in this place. If I still saw myself as worthless and a failure, I wouldn't be up here. If I didn't see what Jesus truly did for me, if I didn't see the love that he truly poured out and is always willing to give, I would still be stuck. You know, I wonder, we're going to go back to Israel here for a little bit. I wonder, after they heard all these commandments, you know, because the Lord asked, you know, do you want this? He didn't force this on them. They chose it. And I wonder if they just thought about it for a while and said, you know what, we can't do this. Give us mercy. And this is just my thought. I just wonder what would have happened, you know. But there's a couple verses that show their hearts, I believe. Deuteronomy 6:25, it says, this is after the Lord has given them these commandments and Israel speaking and say, it will be our righteousness if we are careful to keep all the commandments before the Lord our God, just as he commanded us. So they were going to achieve righteousness because they were going to follow this. They were going to do everything correctly. And we know that kind of heart doesn't get us anywhere. Anytime we think our actions or our works are going to get us anywhere with God, we're in trouble. Because it's not our actions, it's a relationship where we let him work and flow through us. You know, you can have all the good intentions in the world. You really can. But if it's not God working in you, it's not going to have the impact that you're desiring. Let God put those passions in you. Let the relationship with Christ put those passions and desires and intentions in you. And watch the fruit that comes from it. You know, if you're a good person and you're constantly doing good things, but you're not seeing the fruit from it, it might be time to reevaluate. Not that God doesn't want us doing good things, but maybe he has a different purpose for you. Maybe you're supposed to just be doing, that's meant for somebody else. You know, maybe you're just supposed to be doing something else, and that's okay. But that's where the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit comes in. That's where relationship comes in. Another verse to go along with that, over in Romans 10, 3 through 4, it says, and this is talking about Israel, for being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not submit to the righteousness of God. And here's a big verse. Christ is the end of the law for everyone who believes. That's that. I could probably stop here, but I need to fill another half hour. I mean, that's pretty straightforward. But why do people strive so hard against this? Why is it so hard for us to receive love? Right? And this isn't an invitation to do whatever you want. That's not what this is. Because relationship with God molds you. It directs you. It directs your path. It gives you wisdom. You know, we're supposed to strive against sin. You know, we're supposed to strive against the things that are, you know, it's not God punishing us. It's us opening doors. When I'm sinning and willfully sinning and knowing that I'm doing wrong, I'm opening a door to myself. It's not God punishing me. He took my sins. He took my infirmities. Right? He paid for all of that stuff. Let's receive what he has for us. Let's receive this new covenant. So the law served a purpose, and it still does serve a purpose. But I think we just all too often misapply it, and other people just misapply its actual intent. As New Testament believers, we have a new covenant. We have the new covenant. You know, we didn't have a covenant before. You know, Gentiles didn't have a covenant. I don't want to burst anybody's bubble. But that wasn't our covenant. But thank God, there's no differential, you know, there's no differing now between Gentiles and Jews. And, you know, we're all one in Christ. Amen. We're all one in Christ. You know, and that's where this whole identity thing comes in. There's neither Greek nor Jew, male or female, anything. It's just we're one in Christ. And how amazing would that be for the world to catch a hold of this identity in Jesus Christ? Because they're screaming for identity. The world is screaming to be noticed, to be seen for who they truly are. But it's a lie. Look at the fruit of it. The fruit is hatred. The fruit is division. The fruit is tearing this country apart. Is that what true identity is supposed to do to us? Hate one another? I mean, we're segregating ourselves again. In the name of racial tolerance and everything, I mean, major colleges are segregating students again. Look it up. And this is bizarre. I mean, this is where the world has gotten to. And it's all because they don't know who they are in Jesus Christ. And I can't bang on them too much because I didn't know who I was. And I looked like the world for a long, long time. I looked like the world for many years. Nobody saw anything different in me. But thank God he can change that. Thank God through relationship and understanding relationship and understanding that I just need to let him do things in me. Instead of me trying to do these things, instead of me coming up with these weird doctrines, we can just do really dumb things in the name of being holy and in the name of God. You know, I've been there. I have, God, if you do this for me, I'll walk perfect. I'll do everything I'm supposed to do right. Just take this out of me. Take this depression out of me. Blah, 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 blah. Man, I missed it. I missed it. And I know I'm not the only one, but I got to stand up here and give examples. And the best examples I know are my examples. So, yeah. You know, but it's not about my righteousness. It's my righteousness because of him. I'm justified because of him. I'm holy and redeemed because of him. My life has changed because of him. Nothing I've done. You know? Yeah, I mean, I had to take a step. You know, there's obedience involved. But man, when you start living that life of just following what he has for you, it just becomes a lot easier. You know, and I've had to die to self. I've had, you know, I've changed more jobs in the last few years than like I ever wanted to in my entire life. I hate changing jobs. I hate changing, you know? So like having to start a new job and start all over and start, but man, he's faithful. You know, there's just, I don't got time to tell the story. Maybe someday I will, but I went from good pay to no pay to great pay. You're right? Just because of what, just following and doing what he told me to do. You know, there's seasons. We don't always see everything. We probably don't need to see everything because we'll curl up in a ball.
Or mess it up.
Or mess it up, yeah. But he's faithful. We just need to let him work in us. He's not going to lead you astray. You know, and I'll say it again, it's not what Jesus, what we can do for him. It's what we're letting him do through us. You know, it's, I gave the example of last week, I think, you know, of the tithe. Somebody gave me $20 and what that birthed in me, he was obedient to give me this small amount of money. But what that birthed in me, obedience, just doing what's asked, it's amazing how that can just compound. You know, and the boldness and, you know, everything that it gives you. I mean, me and Pastor Jonah were talking about, like, how cool is it that we just hear from God? God speaks to me and I hear it. Like, just meditating on that a little while will cheer you up. Because I think it's really cool. And it's really changed my life when I've listened. You know, when I've been obedient. Like, how cool is it the creator of heaven and earth speaks to you. He speaks to you and he wants what's best for you and he loves you no matter what we've done. No matter what we're going to do, because I'm still going to mess it up. But my goal is to just continue down this path of relationship so I don't mess it up as much. You know, so those mess ups become less and less and less and less. And it's achievable, you know? You know, we'll go back to Matthew 5 now for a couple more verses. You know, it's not a works thing anymore. It's a heart. It's a heart matter. It's what's going on inside of us. It's what your true heart is towards anything. You know, we look at Samuel when he chose David. You know, Eliab. The oldest, the biggest, the strongest. He looked good. You know, God, that's got to be your man. You know, it's not how it works with God. It's the heart. And it's been revealed, you know, it's been revealed in the Old Testament. But now, through what Jesus did And through the knowledge that we have, it's all about the heart. It's all about what's inside you, because what's inside you comes out. So Matthew 5, verses 19 through 20. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do likewise shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will in no way enter the kingdom of heaven. So heart issue here. Because who were the scribes and the Pharisees? Just the ultra religious. Everything was the outward appearance. They were dead as dead can be inside, but they sure looked good on the outside. You know, I think like true Pharisees had to memorize the first five books of the Bible, I think. That's amazing. You know, they did all these amazing things. Their lives, you know, visually were amazing. They were prosperous. But unfortunately, they were prosperous because they were taking advantage of people. You know, that's never the heart of God. And so we see these verses are going to expose not just their heart, but our heart towards God. How is he work? What is our relationship with God? You know, are we coming up with excuses as to why I don't need to live that way, I'm going to live this way? Are we following doctrines that just make me feel better, even though it's leading me down a path of destruction? You know, it's not always, feelings are a part of life, yes, but it's not life. Truth is life. And yes, feelings follow, but truth, the truth of the Word of God is life. Knowing the truth is vital, because it doesn't matter what your opinion of the truth is. I don't care what your opinion of the truth is. Truth is truth, whether you agree with it or not. And that's a hard pill that I've had to swallow. You know, when I have these weird ideas about God that I got to work for it and I'm never going to ever measure up, and then I hear somebody tell me 50 scriptures about how I do and what he did, you know, I have to change my heart. I have to accept the truth. Doesn't matter how I felt at the time. It didn't matter that I would, you know, didn't believe. It doesn't matter. Truth is truth. And it's going to be a harsh realization for a lot of people. Your opinion doesn't matter, unfortunately, when it comes to truth. Trying to, you know, and it's not the condemnation, it's the challenge. You know, we've all heard it. But it's not condemnation, it's truth. Accept the truth. Be open to the truth. Let the truth lead you and guide you. I mean, it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Because wasn't that what the Pharisees were trying to achieve, was righteousness? Righteousness in their own strength, you know? And it's amazing that they knew the word that they did, or how they did, and how so much of it was being fulfilled right before their eyes. But it was about their righteousness. So we, you know, verse 20 brings in the Pharisees, and it must exceed. I think that's an it must exceed the scribes and the Pharisees. Your righteousness must exceed the scribes and the Pharisees, so it must come from the heart. Because what they were doing wasn't working. What they were doing wasn't bringing life. Exceed in theirs is defined as greater in quality, superior, more excellent. We have a more excellent covenant. We serve a more excellent God that doesn't require these outward acts. All he requires is that we be obedient when we're asked. And even when we're not, guess what? He still loves you. That's the amazing thing about God. He still loves me even when I miss it. Now, I don't want to make a habit of missing it because I want to grow. I want to continue on in this, you know, growing in knowledge and wisdom and everything else. But even when I miss it, he still loves me. Because he's just that good. He is that good. What is your expectation? I heard this when we were worshiping. What is your expectation of God? Today, right now, when you show up in this building, what is your expectation? My expectation is that people are healed. My expectation is that people are set free. My expectation is that people hear a word that sparks a fire in them that drives them closer to relationship. That's my expectation. You know, I can preach the gospel, but I want the signs and wonders that follow. I want the signs and wonders that follow. Wes, I believe you're healed in Jesus' name. I believe you can speak exactly the way you're supposed to speak because you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. You are the righteousness of God. There's nothing that you've done that's kept you from this healing. He loves you, and he wants you to speak, and he wants you to sing forth his praises. He wants you to be an example of the true, miracle-working, loving, merciful God that he is. Who else? My brother, you are healed in Jesus' name because he loves you and because you don't have to walk this life out oppressed. You don't have to walk this life out dealing with disease because you have the fullness of Jesus Christ living inside of you. Who else? What else do you need? Because these brothers are healed in Jesus' name. And they're going to speak forth, and they're going to speak forth his goodness and his mercy and his grace because of what he's done in their lives. Because that's the God we serve. Amen. Yeah, that's good. Back to the Pharisees. John 12:42 through 43. Yet many of the rulers also believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. I mean, that's still a hard issue that's prevalent today. You know, how many people actually know the truth? Deep down inside, they know the truth. God is speaking to them. God has been working on them. But they're too afraid of what might happen. They're too afraid of what people might say. Guess what? In the grand scheme of eternity, you're really going to regret that. It does not, and this is something that I had to bite and chew on and get rid of. It doesn't matter what people think of me. It doesn't matter what people think of you. Because I dealt with that for so many years. I would paralyze myself with the thought of what people were thinking about me. If I didn't look the way I was supposed to look, if my hair wasn't like, it was the dumbest, stupidest things that I would literally paralyze myself over. And I missed so many opportunities of friendship, and I missed so many opportunities to grow closer to God, and I missed so many opportunities because I focused so much on what people thought of me. It's so stupid. Because the God who created me loves me. The God who created me sees me as righteous, sees me as justified, sees me as his son. Like, that's pretty encouraging. You know, the men who knew the word the most led how many people astray? right? How many people did they take advantage of? How many people did they intimidate into not believing? I mean, what an amazing thing, but really awful thing to think about. I wouldn't want to stand there on Judgment Day and say, and hear him say, well, all you did was lead my sheep astray. That's a bad feeling right there. You know, and then you have the miracle of Jesus healing the blind man when he spit into the mud, made clay, made him go wash. You know, happened on the Sabbath, so of course you can't do anything good on the Sabbath. So they bring him before the Pharisees, and they're grilling him and grilling him. And I don't know who it was. I was blind. How was he supposed to know who it was? You know? And I was told to go wash, so I didn't even see the guy. But they're grilling him, so they bring in his parents. And what does his parents say? That's our son. He used to be blind, but after that, ask him. Because they were afraid to be thrown out of the synagogue. I mean, they were afraid to rejoice in the miracle of their son because of the synagogue, because of what people thought of them. I mean, that's real. It still goes on today. You know, they loved and chose power, praise, the wealth, the comforts of this life over the truth of the word. They really thought they were a big deal. And they were a big deal, but only for a short time. Because this life is only for a short time. Eternity is eternity. And they have a long time to think about it. And God forbid I miss an opportunity, or we miss opportunities, and this is not a guilt trip, but this is what we're here for. To share the good news of the gospel with people. To turn people to Christ so that's not their eternity. I don't want that to be anybody's eternity. It was right in front of their face and they missed it. But unfortunately, it was right in front of my face for most of my life and I missed it. But he's so faithful. He's so faithful. He's so loving that it doesn't matter. A split second of saying, Father, use me. A split second of saying, I repent. That thought process was not who you are. I'm going to change my thought process to who you are. And let that rule and reign in your life. You know, that's what I had to do. Because I had such a poor self-image of myself. And, you know, Satan still tries to attack me with it, but thank God I have the word, right? Thank God I don't go down that rabbit trail anymore because I know who I am. And I don't even know fully who I am yet, but I'm working towards it. I'm pushing towards it because he's faithful to reveal it. So now I want to go into the true heart of God. God's true heart towards us. It starts in Hosea 6:6. It says, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." That was never the original intent, because what did Adam and Eve do in the garden? They walked with God. Man, that's what God wanted the whole time, was for us to just walk in with him, to learn from him, to grow in knowledge and relationship. That just screams relationship to me. He wanted relationship the whole time, but sin messed it up. But thank God for Jesus Christ, because now we can have that relationship again. Micah 6:6-8. "With what should I come to the Lord and bow down before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. All he wants is relationship. Because when we have relationship, he can work and move in us. When it's just a concept and when it's just an idea, the power is not there. But when we understand that we have Jesus, and when we receive his Spirit, the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, when we understand that he's working and he wants to move, and that we have the same Spirit that Jesus did as when he walked on this earth, what can't we accomplish? We can do so much, but we got to understand what's in us. You got to understand who you are. We need to be usable. I was very much not usable. Very, very much. You know, because when all this was sparked in me, I wanted to, like, all of a sudden I could see things, you know, like, oh, I could, you know, I could see myself doing this and I could see myself doing that. But there had to be a preparation time, right? I couldn't go from walking as a heathen and having zero idea of who my identity or what my identity is to preaching in front of thousands of people. That's not how it works. That's just how you crash and burn. You know, like nothing good is going to come out of that. Preparation time. And one thing I've learned in school and it's stuck with me is preparation time is never wasted time. You know, you may feel like you need to be out there. You may feel like you need to be doing things, but you need to be prepared to do it. Right? You know, military. You know, you can throw anybody out on a battlefield. You really can. They're not going to last long. But you really can. But if you're prepared, and I was taught for years and years and years how to fight, that's what I was taught to do, is how to fight. And I'm much more prepared than the guy who just shows up. And then it was my job to teach somebody. You know, I was there for a few years. I picked up some rank. And when the new guys came, it was our job to teach them. Because I wanted them to know how to fight. Because when we went to fight, I wanted to make sure everybody around me was on the same page. You know, because things can go south really fast. And it's no different in the kingdom. You know, we start out as babes. We grow and we're discipled. And then we start discipling others. And then we start teaching others. And then we start teaching others how to grow. We start teaching others knowledge and wisdom. We start building each other up into the unity that we're supposed to be walking in. It's not just my job. It's not just Pastor Jonah's job to teach people. It's, you know, we have a role to play here. But it's not solely our job. We're here to teach you so you can teach others. So you can share this with others. That's what we're here to do. To walk humbly with God. Relationship. He desires relationship with each and every one of us. So Hebrews. Winding down here. Hebrews 10, 14, starting verse 14. We'll go through 19. For by one offering, he has forever perfected those who are sanctified. Jesus is that one offering. And when we choose Jesus, we are perfected. We are sanctified. In our spirits. You know, unfortunately, my flesh didn't change. You know, unfortunately, not every horrible thing I put in myself was immediately purged. But I have a spirit that can help me fight it. I have a spirit that can help me push through it, right? I have tools and equipment at my ready now. Instead of just always feeling defeated, I have something within me that lets me go on the attack. Instead of always just, you know, being on the defense and trying to keep as little stuff entering my mind as possible, I can now go straight at it. I can go at it with the Word of God because I know who I am. Verse 15, the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us about this. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. And here's the key. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and lawless deeds will I remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. We don't have to be drugged down by works because the Spirit is in us. The Spirit of, when I develop relationship, when I start walking in relationship with Christ, it's not that the Ten Commandments are a bad thing. It's just, yeah, I know I probably shouldn't cheat on my wife. Because I don't want to cheat on Jesus. I have this relationship now where he's showing me, you know, all these things. He's leading and guiding me, and it just doesn't, it isn't an issue anymore. Because I know who he is. I know his heart, and his heart is in me. And it's manifesting out of me. Why would I ever want to hurt him and then hurt my wife? You know, when David committed sin with Bathsheba, he said, I committed this sin before you, O God. He didn't mention anybody else. He didn't mention that he killed a man because his heart was for God and he sinned against God. And when he sinned against God, all these other things happened. Right? It was his defiance against God, his disobedience against God, his turning away from the relationship that led to all these other things. And it's our turning away of the relationship that leads to the other things. I don't know what the other things are for you. Turn to relationship. Grow in relationship. So real quick, I want to read that same passage, but out of Jeremiah, where it was originally written, because it's just so important. Jeremiah 31, starting in verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me. And that's the big part. We can know God. That's what I want us to take away from here. We can know God. What an amazing thought. We can know God. For they shall know me from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sins no more. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. And if you want to go back and read Matthew 5, the rest of it, it's a heart matter from there on out, because he talks about adultery, he talks about divorce, he talks about hating your brothers. It's a heart matter. What's in your heart? So I hope today that I was able to get that across, that it's about relationship. It's not about my intentions. It's not about the good works, because when I'm in relationship, the good stuff's going to come. Because when I'm in relationship, I can look at people and just, man, you need Jesus. I can have compassion towards people. I can have love towards people because his love and compassion are flowing through me. This is just what it's about. And I hope I got that across today. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are faithful and that you are true. We thank you that you love us so much, that you sent your Son to die for us, Father, and help us to understand and to get into our heart this relationship that you desire. You desire a relationship, and you desire for us to know you intimately. We thank you for your word, Father, and we thank you for this week that we can go forth with boldness to speak your word and to do the things that you are asking us to do, Father. And I thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.